next speaker is Ian Russell from London Borough of Enfield.
Hello everyone. I'm a civil engineer at Enfield, and I've been working very closely with John Thames21 on the projects in Samsbrook catchment over the last few years, and I'd like to describe a couple of projects that are ongoing at the moment which are largely inspired by that work. They're in a catchment called Moorbrook, which is actually a lost river, or stream really. We've got a map from the late 19th century which shows there's a completely open water course. By the 1950s it was completely piped in. There was no sign of it at all, so we're trying to kind of bring that back to life and create some interesting sorts of projects as well. Within the catchment, there's a very significant water quality problems. Where the green dot is, where it shows Pimm's Park wetlands, that is there's a recreational sort of lake there called Pimm's Park Lake that hasn't been used for recreational purposes for about 50 years because of the pollution. And actually, in 2003, the pollution was considered to be so bad that Thames Water and the Environment Agency agreed that it would be best if the dry water flows cross-connected into the Fowles sewer. So this is, by the way, Enfield's in a separate sewer area, so there's all the rainwater, reserves water and so on. But all that flow was connected to the Fowles sewer and into the nearest sewage treatment works, and that's been going on for 10 years or so. During that time, Enfield Council and Thames Water have been working on a misconnections investigation, which is tremendously difficult, expensive thing to do because you've got 8,000 properties in the catchment. You can't literally go and test every single one. But over that sort of process of 3 years or so, about 300 odd properties have been identified and rectified. However, we've been doing regular water quality sampling, which still indicates that there's significant residual pollution in the catchment, which we haven't been able to get rid of. And even if, I think one of the sub-catchments that was signed off a few years ago by the Environment Agency, because all the misconnections were considered to have been removed, has now been added back on the list because it's a, misconnections keep being added. One of the interesting things about that 300 was that I think only one of them was actually a toilet, which is pretty low. I mean, most of them are kind of washing machines, kitchen sinks and so on, but let's just give a bit of a picture. What's going on. Anyway, so as I said, I work closely with Thames 21 on the Samsbrook project, and we identified this was another opportunity to use bioremediation techniques to try and mitigate the residual pollution in the system. It's not very legible probably, but essentially we came up with a concept of putting in wetland cells using space available and the funding available, which remarkably was all capital funded by the council, because I think by the time this has been going on for so many years, the council were kind of very keen to show they were actually going to do something about it, and there'd been a lot of things kind of came to a head until 2012, when there was a lot of really bad press in local papers and so on, which kind of really forced the council's hand. So we came up with this concept whereby you've got a culvert, the main 1 foot wide damage culvert coming down here into the lake, and we've taken a smaller pipe which diverts the sort of dry weather flow plus a little bit more into these wetland cells. The total area of wetland that was available was about that we could physically create by making a safe sort of natural space. I mean, so the main driver of this project is to improve the water quality, but we're also trying to consider the other kind of pillars of such, the amenity. So we want to make a natural space that people can use and appreciate. Biodiversity, we're also trying to improve the habitats and so on. And that's fairly easy to achieve in this case, because before we started, it was just a big green grass area that was mowed very regularly, like a sort of green desert, some people call it. But the focus was on creating as much kind of wetland planting as possible. This was some photos from a volunteer planting event, which was carried out at the end of May. And as you can see, the plants are looking quite weedy and sparse, and then 3 months later, they've really kind of taken off. And it's really, in a fairly short space of time, it starts to look quite well established. And all that planting was done with local people, which is, and we did have some corporate volunteers as well, but essentially people who were given their time to do it. And that kind of shows how there's a real appetite for people to get involved in these kind of things. Even when we first started talking to people about it, some people were very negative and, oh, it's a waste of money or whatever, but actually as it's kind of started to establish and look nicer, we're getting a lot more kind of positive feedback and so on. That project's still ongoing. We're still waiting till later in the autumn to plant some trees and shrubs and so on. Well, that's quite a good photo. It's very kind of Google to have gone out and taken some aerial photos of the scheme while we were working on it. But so to the left, you've got the kind of green, you can see just here, obviously, where it's coming. It also puts in context more in terms of where it is in relation to the lake, which is down here. The area to the north of the wetland, which is much, much bigger than the wetland, is where we spread all the spoil. And it's brown in that photo, but now we've had a bit of rain in the last month, it's greened up, and we've actually created two new football pitches, which are vastly superior to any of the facilities that were there in the past. And people in the council really appreciate that, because football pitches generate income, and they really put high value on that. But also, it's a great way of getting the spoil while providing, you know, more than a fringe benefit, really. Okay, so while all that investigation and work was going on with Pimm's Park, which started in around 2012, we've also been working on the surface water management plan for Enfield, which was delivered through work with Drain London. That's the Moorbrook catchment. There's no main rivers in Moorbrook, so the fluvial flood risk, as it's called, red, is all outside the catchment. The blue areas are what's considered to be surface water flood risk. There's quite a clear kind of overland flow ridge, which is the rim of the historic watercourse. There's other features you can see, which are things like railway cuttings, which, you know, collect water, or roads because of the way they're designed. Within that area, there's hundreds of properties that are at risk of flooding. And it's very difficult to address all of that flood risk because surface water flooding is so widely distributed. And ideally, you'd use source control techniques. But to do that over a huge scale takes a long time and costs a lot of money. So what we've tried to do first is identify the opportunities where we can put in, where we can create flood storage areas that can address a significant amount of that flooding. So First Farm Playing Fields, which is in this photo, was a really obvious place to create flood storage area. It's a huge open space, not very well used. Again, it's another kind of green desert with lots of football pitches and stuff, but not much going on for local people if you're not interested in sport. And also, it floods anyway. It's got very poor drainage. So during the winter, half the football pitches are out of action. A lot of others anywhere, not last winter, but the two before anyway. While we were kind of developing the concept for the project. So this was another opportunity to create wetlands, create flood storage, de-culvert the piped in watercourse. And the watercourse actually runs along here. It's really hard to fathom why that was ever piped in the first place. I mean, well, there is some evidence that it might have been because of poor water quality going back as far as the 1950s even. So working with local residents, we developed this concept for flood storage wetland area. And to say that the residents were enthusiastic about it is a real understatement. I mean, we've had incredible response and interest from local people. They're just desperate to get out there. They've been sort of planting trees and doing stuff even before we started the civils works. And we've been trying to try and sort of rein them back, really, in terms of waiting, you know, until we can deliver it. One of the big wins here was that we used the spoil from deculverting the watercourse to create a flood defence. So we were able to create a 200 metre long, 1.5 metre high flood defence for about £100,000, which was really good value for money. And that stores getting on for about 30,000 cubic metres of water. I mentioned the enthusiasm of the local residents. That has enabled us to, first of all, it's given us as a project team a lot of clout in terms of going back to the council and saying, yes, we'll do this, and we've got to do it in this way. But also it's enabled us to go out and get a lot of additional funding. We were fortunate in that the modelling studies that we've done had demonstrated that we could protect or reduce flood risk to a lot of properties, which meant we got several hundred thousand pounds from DEFRA through flood defence grant and aid funding. But on top of that, we've got additional funding from Thames Water, Environment Agency, and also the GLA as part of the Big Green Fund project. So that's just really a summary of the benefits. I won't go through all those. I mean, I mentioned previously that it's reduced flooding to over 100 properties, but there's still hundreds of other properties in the catchment that haven't. They've still got significant flood risk. So this isn't the end of the story, but there's more work to be done, and that is delivering things like rain gardens. And I'm working with my colleagues in Highways to, as Richard or someone mentioned before, try and kind of permeate the concept of using rain garden things into the mindset of people who do footway schemes and traffic calming schemes and so on, because it's impossible for me to be involved in all these schemes, but if we're trying to develop the tools and the sort of standard specifications and things that colleagues can use to actually implement some of these smaller source control systems on a wider scale, really. So that's it, really.